Last week we started the series on the end times, and as I said, we are going to cover some of that again today. There's some people that want to hear it, different things, and we're going to look at some of the different things. We're going to take about half of the sermon this morning to recap what we did last week. So if you're here last week, you want to take a nap, now's your time. But if not, keep tuned in, and we'll wake you up when we get about halfway through. But we're going to look at, first of all, Matthew 24. But before you do, let's read. This is the passage I have for today. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Not all the chapter. Now, just turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 4, first two verses. Paul is writing to Timothy. As you know, Timothy was a young pastor that Paul was training, and left him to look after some churches. And he would write letters to Timothy to explain some different things about ministry and different things to him. This is one of the letters that he wrote to him. Verse 4, chapter 2, he said, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days," or in the latter times, "some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the first seven verses. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unruly, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And then Paul says, "From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's bow and ask God's direction as we look into the Word this morning. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Once again, Father, we approach it reverently and humbly. Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. Give us freedom of thought, and freedom of expression. And Father, we just pray that You would just minister to each one of us. Help us, Lord, to see the things that parallel with the day in which we're living. We thank You for Your many blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at a few pictures here at the beginning. Remember this a few years ago, September 11, 2001. This man responsible. Islam will dominate the world, they say. This is another man that wants to wipe Israel off the map. We see a lot of starvation, a lot of people that are hungry today. Israel's in the news. The Bible talks about Israel in the last days is going to play a major part in end-time prophecy. And we see that a lot. The United States is in the news. I just throw this in. I believe that the reason the Western world has been so blessed compared to the other nations of the world is because we've stood with Israel. And for decades, ever since Israel became a nation back in 1948, when Israel was restored back to her land, something that God promised through Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zechariah and different prophets, ever since Israel has been brought back and set up as their own nation again, the Western world generally has been backing Israel. But I don't know if anybody noticed lately, the United States seems to be backing off from Israel. And even our own country is starting to criticize Israel for things that Israel's doing. Israel's trying to protect themselves and stand against all the hoodlums that are over there, all the chaos that's going on, the suicide bombers and everything else, and trying to take their own, Israel trying to set up their own land and occupy their own land, and then the world is trying to get them to divide the land. God tells us back in I think it's Daniel, to be careful of those that try to divide the land that God gave to Israel. So we need to be very careful and pray for Canada. We got a prime minister who's supposed to be a Christian, although he got a case of beer this week. If anybody's looking at that, I don't like that too much either. But anyway, let's pray for our leaders. They're only, just like you and me, they're only flesh and blood. They can make mistakes. They need our prayers and need God's direction. So let's pray that our leaders will realize that they need to stand with Israel. Anyway, Saddam Hussein was in the news a few years ago, no longer there now. 666, all heard talk of that? Things are being set up for that. I told you last week about different things. President Obama, there's something I was reading this week. I go back to the 666 first. Last week I mentioned PC Magazine, which is a major magazine that's put out by computer publishers and everything else. People, you know, one of their editors, I don't know if it was an editor or one of the contributors or whatever, he showed a picture where he had a little chip implanted right here in his right hand. And in that chip was all kinds of information about himself, his medical history, his birth history, and all these different things. He can use that, they said, in the future. It's not set up right now, but they can use that in the future, he said, to scan their bank accounts, like we would use debit cards today and bank cards and everything. Scan their debit cards. He's got this put in there right now. He wanted to be one of the first ones to put it in. They said you got to be within 2 feet of a scanner in order for the scanner to pick it up. So if you're going through the checkout or something, people can't steal it from you and different things like this. You got to be within 2 feet of a scanner for the scanner to pick up this little chip in your hand. The technology for 666 is already here. We're seeing that happen. I want to talk about Obama for a second. Going over the notes again this week and trying to, you know, get a few things to add to the thing for today. Last April, just after Obama became president. Now, I don't know how you feel about Obama. That's between you and God. But last year, as he became president of the United States, in April month, he went to Turkey. He went on a tour of the Muslim countries. And when he was in Turkey, he made a declaration, the United States is not a Christian or a Judeo-Christian country. And I was reading something the week, and some of the senators then were getting kind of upset with it, and they said, how come this has been kept so secret from the American people that he said that? He went over to the Muslim countries to announce to them that we're not Christian anymore. We're not a Christian country. If you look at history and look at prophecy, and I know I'm getting off a bit here before I even get into the message, but if you look at prophecy, the Bible indicates that if you read Ezekiel chapter 37, 38, other passages in Daniel, the Bible seems to indicate that when the nations come in against Israel, that the Western world is just going to sit back and not say anything and just say, what are you doing? That's all we're going to say. We're just going to protest. We're not going to be involved anymore. And some people, a few years ago, people said, oh, the United States would never back away from Israel. The United States is backing away from Israel at high speed. We need to be careful. Israel's God's time clock. And we need to understand that, need to realize that as Israel goes, the church will go and the world will go. And we need to keep our eyes upon Israel. So I just want to throw that in. Pray for Obama. We see all kinds of suicide bombers and explosions going on around the world. The European Union brought together as 10 nations, or more than 10 right now, but the day will come when all these things are brought together. There's going to be 10 nations that are going to bring their power together, the Bible says, under the beast, the Antichrist. All these different things are taking place. The Word of God prophesied back in Daniel that the European Union will come back together again. That's the old Roman Empire. Will come back together again. We've seen it in our day, just before my day, but some of you saw it happen. We're living in it today. See, the danger is, remember Jesus, last week we talked about Jesus, to be careful that people don't deceive you. And we're living in the midst of prophecy being fulfilled, and sometimes we don't even, it doesn't even flinch us anymore. We just sit back and think there's nothing to it. When we need to realize that we're living in the very times that Jesus spoke about. We need to understand that. And I told you that last week, I got this picture, and I believe it's like a time. God's time is running out for planet Earth. And here's the hourglass. And we're going to talk about the end times. This is part 2 part one and part two mixed together today. But anyway, let's look a little further. This is a little slower. I got something messed up in the program. We're going to have to reinstall it. But anyway, Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 down to 14. We're not going to read it all today. I do have the scriptures in here, but we glance at them as we go through them. But I'm not going to read it as an entire passage. But if you want to look it up, you can look that up sometime. These are events that Jesus gave us or told us are going to take place just before he returns. And like I said, I'm recapping a lot of what I went over last week, and we're going to look at it. But anyway, first of all, Jesus gave us seven signs. Number one was deception. There's going to be deception, the Bible says, in verses 4 and 5, again in verse 11. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, verses 6 and the first part of verse 7. In verse 7 again, he mentions famines, pestilences, earthquakes. And then in verse 9 to 10, he mentions persecution. And in verse 14, worldwide evangelism. All these things are signs, Jesus said, that are going to take place leading up to his coming. Now, most of you that are in the cell groups, I've been at 5 cell groups this week. So I've gone over the lesson 5 times, plus I preached it last Sunday, preaching it again today. But those that were in the cell groups this week, you know that your lessons were concerning all these, this passage and the signs that Jesus said that would come to pass. And we're going to just glance down through them a bit quickly today and touch on them. First of all, Jesus said there's going to be deception. There's going to be deception. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Notice this. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." In other words, in the last days, because if you look at it, and we, as I said, we talk about this in our cell groups, if you look at it, Jesus was up into the temple area. Now, this was the second temple that was built in Israel, in Jerusalem. The first one was built under Solomon, and that was the one that was dedicated. Remember when Solomon gave the prayer that we're using in our revival services, "If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face," as where God spoke to them. That was the first temple being dedicated. That took place at the dedication of that temple that God answered in that way. But that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar. Sometime later, when Rome became the world empire, if you go back to the book of Daniel, you see the different world empires that God said would come to pass. When Rome became the world empire, Rome went in and took over Israel. And King Herod, remember the one that was killing all the babies? He had built a temple in Jerusalem. It took him 46 years to put it together. It started, I guess, under his father. And it took him 46 years to build this temple. And it was a humongous building. They say you could see it from miles out when you were walking in towards Jerusalem. It was up. You look at the pictures of the world today and Jerusalem and different things, you see the dome and the rock there was up in that area. A massive, expensive building. And they tell us that when they built the building, they put gold in the mortar between the bricks. But anyway, Herod built this temple, and it was a magnificent building, and everybody wanted to see it. When the disciples were there with Jesus, the Bible says they were just leaving the temple and leaving the area, and the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, come back and look at the buildings. Look at all the buildings that are around here. The temple, and how magnificent, and how, you know, big it is and everything." And Jesus said to him, he said, "Listen, I'm telling you something." He said, "The day will come," he said, "not one stone in this building is going to be lifted upon another." And history tells us that that actually came to pass in A.D. 70 when the Jewish people were scattered all over the planet. And they were scattered from A.D. 70 until May 1948 when they came back together again as a nation. God told them, he said, "I'll scatter you if you're rebellious and reject me." He said, "I'll scatter you all over the world." And that's exactly what he did. He said, "But in the last days, I'll bring you back to your own land." We saw that happen in 1948. But they tell us in A.D. 70 when the temple was torn down, that there was gold. If you read the account of Solomon's temple, there was gold put around the walls and different things. And they say when the fire started, because they went in and burned the city, when the fire started in the temple area, the gold started to melt and go down into the bricks, into the blocks, the building blocks. And this is why, they said, when the soldiers went in, they literally took the building apart, brick by brick, or block by block, stone by stone, and took it apart to get the gold out, fulfilling exactly what Jesus said, "Not one stone will be left upon another." Jesus in the last days, he said, take heed that no man will deceive you. Then he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And as I said last week, there's two ways of looking at that. Many will come in his name, saying that he is Christ. You know, Jesus could be saying, I am Christ. He said, but they'll deceive many. That's one way of looking at it, and some people believe that, and there's a lot of cults out there that believe, you say, you talk to them, they come and knock on your door. You say, you believe in Jesus? Yes, you believe he's God's son? Oh, yes, you believe he's the anointed one? Oh, yes. But how they believe that is totally different than the way we believe it. He said, they will say that I'm Christ, but they will deceive many. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, there are people that come themselves and say themselves are Christ. That they themselves are Christ. And I believe probably that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. In the last days, there were people coming around saying, I'm Christ. Saying that they are Christ. And we've seen a lot of that in the last days. But notice down in the verse again, in the last part of verse 5 there, and he said, and shall deceive many. There's going to be a lot of deception going on in the last days. There's a lot of chaos going on out there. There's a lot of things that, you know, everybody says, this person says this, this church says this, that denomination says this, this organization says that, this society says this, this one says this. Where is the truth? The Word of God says, be very careful, because there's going to be a lot of deception in the last days. Jesus went on to say, he said, many false prophets shall rise, and again, and shall deceive many. There's going to be a lot of deception going on in the last days. Matthew 24, verses 23 and 27, you can jot that down and read it when you get home or whatever. But Jesus said, listen, he said, the day will come. He said, if they say to you, Jesus is out in the desert, he said, don't waste your time to go out there. If they say, no, he's in the inner chamber, he's in some room somewhere, he's teaching something, he said, don't waste your time to go there. He said, because when he comes back, it's going to be like a flash of lightning. He said, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, even so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Those that go around and say, well, you know, we got a date set that Jesus is going to come back. And there's I told a few people this the other night in one of the cell groups. When I was a young fellow, Steve would relate to this. When he was a young fellow. When I was a young fellow, well, let me back up a little bit. My father never went to church. We were Anglican by denomination. My father never went to church. The only time I've ever been to church at that time was at my father's funeral when I was 7 years old. But he always read the Bible to us. Now, I'm not trying to justify anything by that. I'm just telling you what happened. He always read the Bible to us. I can remember Christmas time, he was singing Away in a Manger, and that's how I learned the Christmas story. He was sitting by my father. You know, we were just little children. Like I said, he died when I was 7, almost 8. So my memories are very vague of things that took place. But I can remember that. He would always read the Bible to us, and he had this Bible, and I used to look at it and thought, man, how in the world can you read that? Because the print was so fine, like, you know. And he would always read the Bible, and Easter time he would take us up and he'd sing, you know, Up from the Grave He Arose, and all these different songs, you know, the Easter hymns and all these different things. And he would tell us the stories. And I can remember when he was talking about Jesus, and he'd be looking at his watch and he said, right now they're doing this, right now they're, you know, they're nailing him to the cross. And I'd think to myself, why are they doing that again? And I can remember him telling me a story that last year. And I thought they were doing it again. I couldn't understand, why did he do this every year? Or, you know, ever so often. I couldn't understand that. But he was telling me the stories. But the thing is, after he was dead, I still got his Bible somewhere now. After he was dead, I was looking one day, and I found his Bible, and I just opened up and see if there's any markings, and there wasn't much. And I started looking at it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this over the pulpit or not. But as I open up to the front cover, it says the Watchtower Tract Society. Anybody know who that is? Yeah, okay. I'll leave it at that. But I can remember as a little boy, this is before I was 6 years old, because we moved to another town when I was six, and we were in the first town. And I can remember as a little boy, Mom got us up one day and cleaned us up and put white shirts on us, dressed us up and everything else, and I didn't know what was going on. I, you know, never been to church before, so I didn't know what white shirts were for or anything like this. And I said, what's going on? And my brother's 2 years older than I am, and he was asking the same question, what's going on? And he said, oh, the Lord is coming back today. Now, I knew who the Lord was because, I mean, they used to read the Bible stories to us and all these different things. And they said, the Lord is coming back today. And we were all dressed up. I remember she was scrubbed behind her ears. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, she cleaned us up, spick and span. We are getting ready because Jesus is coming back. And I can remember we all opened a door and we walked in. We had a hen's house. My father used to raise chickens and different things and sell eggs and that. We had a hen's house. We went out behind that. There was a little forest area and you know, things like this. We went out behind there. I vaguely remember it. And we waited. And I can remember waiting and waiting. And I saw my friends out playing, you know, trucks and cars and dinkies and all these different things. And I thought to myself, man, you fellows don't care. You're not going to be ready. You know, you're not going to go with us or what? I thought we were going to heaven that day. Actually believe that. And the time came and went, and I'm still here. But I couldn't understand what was going on at that time. But after I opened up that Bible and saw this Watchtower and Tract Society written on the inside, now that rings a bell of what took place when I was just a little fellow. People trying to set dates. Jesus said, he said, listen, only the Father knows. The disciples, even after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, they said, are you going to set up the kingdom now? He said, boys, he said, listen. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, listen to me. He said, that's got nothing to do with me. He said, that's in the Father's hands. You understand that? That's in the Father's hands. Jesus himself said this. He said, only the Father knows. He said, not the angels in heaven, neither the Son. Jesus himself didn't know when he's coming back. He said, only the Father knows the time that he's coming back. Now, so Jesus said, if they say to you, go out into the field, go out near there, Jesus, he said, forget it. You're just wasting your time because when he comes back, it's going to be like a flash of lightning. He said, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west. So if anybody comes up to you and they sound like you're spiritual and everything else and they got all everything figured out and they said, listen, we believe. Well, I can't get back there now. It'll take too much time. I take more time at this day than I did last week when I preached it. But he said, if we, if you see somebody, you know, got all kinds of teachings and everything else, and they're trying to set a date, they're not listening to the scriptures. I don't care what kind of teaching they have, how logical it sounds or anything else, it's not based on the scriptures because Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Not even the Son. Only the Father knows that. So let's be very careful that we don't be out setting up dates. And I remember years ago, there was a book going around in Newfoundland, and you probably had it up here too, somebody down in the States wrote it, 1998. 12 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1998. And even at a date down September 12th, I think it was, 1998, or 1988 rather, Jesus is going to come back September the 12th because of Yom Kippur and all, you know, the things that happen in the scriptures and all these different things. And they had all these things figured out. September 12th, 1988 is long past, and Jesus still never came back. So don't listen to people setting dates and times and all these different things. When you hear that, just thank God you know, that narrows it down. I can leave that person behind now and just go on and believe something else because what they're teaching is not based on God's word. Anyway, man, I didn't mean to get into all that. Here's some of the fellows that have been out there trying to say that they're God. Sun, Yun, Moon. People still believe that he's the Son of God. Here's David Koresh. Remember him? You can put up Jimmy Jones and all these other fellows. False prophets, false teachers, false Christ. Jesus said, don't be deceived by them. But yet there's a lot of people, even good Christians, that are so gullible. Jimmy Jones, was it 900 and some odd people that he laid down in Guyana there and they all committed suicide together? Was it with this Heaven's Gates crowd there a little while ago, a few years ago, waiting for a spaceship from heaven to come pick them up? Remember that? They said the spaceship was waiting on the other side of the moon. All you got to do is commit suicide and God's going to come in and pick you up in the spaceship. People are foolish enough to believe anything. Don't be gullible. Many will be deceived. Anyway, then he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. I got to get through this faster. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Then he said, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. When we talk, I mean, this generation or this century that just passed is the only century we saw two world wars. No other century has ever seen that. And it seems like every day there's a new war, there's a new battle, there's a new hatred somewhere just starting up. Jesus said, all these things are going to come to pass. He said, but that's not the end. When you see these things come to pass, he said, that's not necessarily the end. Then he goes on to say, nation shall rise against nation. I touched on this last week just quickly. Nation The Greek word for it, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, is number 1484, is ethnos. It means ethnic or tribe or race. You ever see people in this day and age, you hear it on the news all the time, ethnic cleansing. People going in Rwanda and Somalia and the Congo and everywhere else, and in Iraq, you know, the Turks or the Kurds, what do you call these fellows? Kurds? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Up in northern Iraq there. You know, all this ethnic cleansing. Jesus said this is going to start taking place in the last days. When he told us, I think with Luke telling the story about this here, Luke said, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up because your redemption draws nigh. Kingdom against kingdom. This is where we get our nations that we have in the world today. It means a king or a ruler or a leadership or a realm. You see these fighting all the time. You see them getting on the news. Now, we can turn on the news and see the world leaders up arguing with each other and threatening each other. These things are going to happen, he said, in the last days. Then he said, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. In other words, many various places. There's going to be famines. And how many have seen pictures of people on food lines? Ministries are going around the world today helping out children and different things in food lines and families, trying to help them survive and get through the hunger and the starvation, everything that's going on in the world. They're saying that in China, there's over 1 million people this year is going to die with starvation. All around the world, I was reading somebody the other day, over 20 million people this year is going to die with starvation. Jesus, remember Ethiopia a few years ago, they had Sudan, all these famines that were going on, and going on even in the world today. Here's a man here that was, you can imagine, no food. There's another man trying to get something into his son. There's another one. 75% of people that die with hunger, every 3.6 seconds, somebody dies of hunger in the world. Every 3.6 seconds. And 75% of them are children dying in the world. There'll be pestilences. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences. Pestilences, we've seen a lot of it in the last days. In the last 10 years, SARS. Flesh-eating disease. People going around with masks on their face. H1N1 just recently. All these different things. Here's another flesh-eating disease one. It's the earthquakes. This is one that, man, you have to be blind not to know that this is going on. Earthquakes going on in the world today. I jotted down these here. Now, this was last Sunday I put this up. Remember last Sunday I told you, I started preparing that a week before, but then we had Pastor Gerald Morgan came here and spoke here 2 weeks ago. So I never preached the message, so I updated it again for the following week. And when I planned it the first week, there was 511 earthquakes in that 30-day previous, that 30-day period. Move that up a week, that 30-day period, up a week. You dropped off the last week there and moved ahead a week. Last week when we looked at it, was 651 earthquakes in 30 days. These are ones that measure over 4.0 on the Richter scale. I checked it last night, and I probably should have checked it this morning, but I checked it last night about supper time. 709 now in the last 30 days. Constantly increasing. They say that years ago, they said there was, people are saying, you know, well, we've always had earthquakes, just weren't reported. We've always had famines. We've always had, yes, we have, but they're starting to intensify. They say that back a few years ago, back in the 60s, there was approximately 100 calamities and disasters a year around the world. Last year, there were 520 around the world. See, they're starting to intensify in the last days. Jesus said, these things are going to happen in the last days. And these are some of the earthquakes. We talked about those last week. We don't have time to get into them all again today. Here's something that really shook us up, I think, last week. This came from the Toronto Star, March the 9th, which is last week, last Monday, or Monday before last now. The massive earthquake that struck Chile last month precipitably shifted much of the country to the west. The hardest hit city was Concepcion. It jumped more than 3 meters toward the Pacific Ocean. The entire city, much of that country, he said, moved to the west, moved towards the Pacific Ocean. The entire, they said, the way they have the things that they had beams on from satellites and everything else was all moved 10 feet. Everything was moved 10 feet after the earthquake. They say that the axis of the earth is gone off course. They say the day, now we wouldn't notice it, it was only a thousand or so many thousandths of a second, but the day has been shortened. The 24-hour day has been shortened by so many thousandths of a second because of that earthquake. It threw everything into a wobble. You ever get something spinning around, you put a blob of something on the side of it and it just wobbles? That's what happened to the earth for a split second at a time. It threw everything off course. The day, Jesus said there's a day coming in the tribulation period, which, thank God, we'll be out of here. But the day will come in the tribulation period, there's going to be an earthquake that never was before, anything like it, never will ever be again. And the Bible says that will be so much that it wiped the islands off the sea are going to disappear. The entire nations, the entire world is going to feel that earthquake. They talk about the big one that's coming to California. That's nothing compared to the one that's coming in the tribulation period. I got to go faster. There's pictures, you can go on the internet and find this, it's updated every minute. All these circles on there are earthquakes in the last few days. Said to be persecution. Jesus, when you see all these things taking place, the earthquakes and the wars and famines and all these different things, he said, when you see all that taking place, he said, that's the beginning of sorrows. That's the beginning of sorrows. And then he said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. And they shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations by name's sake. There's going to be all kinds of chaos. There's all, you know, today they say that there's, on an average, 480 people a day being killed because they're Christians. Every single day of the year, 480 people a day being killed because they're Christians. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Just a few headlines. March the 8th, 500 were killed in Nigeria, 500 Christians. March the 9th, Iranian pastor tortured and maybe executed for converting Muslims to Christianity. March the 10th, 6 Christians were killed in Pakistan working with a Christian organization. March the 11th, a Christian couple gets 25 years in prison for blasphemy against Islam. Preaching the gospel is blasphemy against Islam. 25 years in prison because of it. Jesus said these things are going to take place in the last days. These are just two pictures. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Worldwide evangelism. I haven't got time to go through all this. God, the kingdom will be preached. Then we have all the different people that are being saved. Different TV stations, radio stations, beaming the gospel out around the world constantly. People are being saved. Many and all these people are spitting. He's been lying on that. You mean we got to go through this? I go through these, just read them. Apostasy. This is what Paul says is going to take place in the last days. Apostasy. Apostasy means falling away from the faith. We would call it backsliding. These things are going to take place in the last days. How many of us know people that at one time served the Lord and loved God and everything else but have backslidden? We all know people like that. Jesus said there's going to be a lot of that, or Paul says there's going to be a lot of that in the last days. There's going to be a lot of godlessness. Man, you don't have to be very smart to figure that one out. Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We have the New Age teachings out there. And they teach that man is his own God. You know, ever since Darwin, and I don't want to get back into all that, but ever since Darwin wrote his book back in, what was it, 1859, I think it was? You know, we don't need a creator anymore. You see how the devil planned all this? We don't need a creator anymore. Then we have Sigmund Freud comes out and he says, well, you know, there's not a spiritual condition that people has got. It's just something in their minds. If you can, you know, analyze what's going on in their minds and how they feel and things like that, you can figure out their life for them. You can set them on a straight course. How many knows that's not working? You can go to counseling until the day you drop dead. It's not going to change what's on the inside of you. It'll help you to, you know, it didn't calm you down with a few drugs and all these different things. But listen, the problem in the world today is inside the people. Everybody's talking about peace, 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 but you're never going to have peace in the world until you get peace on the inside. New Age teachings. They deny Christ as the only way of salvation. You know, he's just one of the ways. No, he's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. People are afraid to speak the truth now because it's not politically correct anymore. We know something is wrong, but you're not allowed to say anything about it anymore because, oh, that's an alternative lifestyle now. Or that's a different way that people do stuff now. We're not allowed to say anything about it anymore because the media has made everything politically incorrect for us to say anything that's truthful anymore. People embrace sin and compromise in the name of tolerance. Now we're getting to the place where we worship Mother Earth. You have Earth Day now, and you know, I know we ought to look after creation, all these different things. I'm not against that, but when people get to the place that they're going up kissing trees and all this old foolishness. The Bible says the day will come, they'll worship the creature more than the Creator. And that's what's happening. Godlessness. Now I'm going to frighten you. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Now, I didn't call women silly. This is Scripture. Lead captive silly women that are laden with sin, led away by divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it's not politically correct to say these things. Isn't that right? Some of you are probably thinking, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about that stuff in church. Listen, this is God's Word. Now I'm going to frighten you, like I said. 21 characteristics. We're going to look at every single one of them, but just a sentence on each one. First of all, lovers of self. People that are selfish and no regard for others. We see that in our world today. You work with people like that. Of course, there's nobody in our church like it. Covetous. They're not content with what they have. They always want more. You know, I get a bigger job, bigger money, I got to have more. I get a bigger house, I got to have a bigger house. I get a bigger car, I got to have a bigger car. You know, all these different things. We're covetous. We're always wanting more. We're living in that society, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Boasters. People won't listen to reason. They got their own opinion on something, and there's no way in the world to tell them anything different. You know what they're believing is wrong, and it's wrong according to God's Word, but you say something about God's Word, all of a sudden, you know, you're the bad one. They won't listen to reason. They're proud. They think of themselves high above everyone else. Look out for number one. Remember that? They're blasphemers, denying God and cursing God. We're living in a society today that put billboards up now. You know, there is no God and all these different things. Jesus said that'll take place in the last days. Disobedient to parents. Now we've got children that run the family instead of the family run the children. Isn't that right? We have children that run the parents. Whatever the child wants, the parent to do anything in the world to go out and do that for the child instead of disciplining the children. You know something the Word of God says? This is politically incorrect what I'm going to say now. Spirit of rod. Thank you. I never said it. You fellas did. Unthankful. They don't acknowledge the blessings of God. We have everything around us. We're living in a society, man. We should be ashamed of ourselves sometimes. The blessings that we have. But yet we get up in the morning, we go on as if we did it ourselves instead of giving God the thanks for it. We ought to be thankful. Amen. Unholy. There's no values anymore. They say over 93% of the people that write the sitcoms for television today are homosexuals and people that got no value system whatsoever. Anything goes if it makes you feel good. And that's coming out in all their shows. They make everything look funny and happy and gay. Now, if you're old enough to understand what gay meant before gay became gay, you understand what I'm saying? Without natural affection. The Bible tells us in Romans that man will leave the natural use of a woman and go with another man. Woman will leave the natural use of a man and go with another woman. The world is sick. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. You make a covenant, back out on it. I can get into a lot there. False, false accusers, slanderers, gossipers, accusing people falsely, incontinent, no self-discipline. Maybe there's people who's gambling or drinking or some other thing and just can't, I got to do it, you know, and they'll take every last dime to go out and do it. No self-control whatsoever. Word of God says these are going to be the kind of people that are in the last days. Fierce, filled with anger and wrath toward others. We did a series on anger a few months ago. And I tell you one thing, if you're angry with someone, you're the one that's suffering. That'll destroy you. Root of bitterness, the Bible says, will destroy you. Despisers of those that are good. Man, aren't we living in that society today? The Bible says the day will come when they'll call good bad and bad good. Aren't we living in that day today? Traitors. They betray their friends if it benefits me. Step on anybody as long as I'm getting ahead. They're heady. Headstrong. Now I know a lot of wives are thinking here. Stubborn. A lot of husbands fit these categories, probably. Rash. He said, this is the kind of people who are going to be in the last days. High-minded, they're conceited. They get a superior opinion of themselves. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, you can have a full series on that one alone. We're living in a society today, we're living in a time, I should say, and probably a society too, but we're living in a time when we'll do anything in the world for entertainment. We'll stay home from church if there's a good movie on. You missed a good place, say amen. We'll stay home from church if the playoffs are on. Or if Canada's Olympics hockey is on. We're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know? You could do think of 1,000 things to say there. They have a form of godliness. They look so religious and so pious, but they deny the power thereof. They're lustful. All kinds of lust. They say internet pornography today is the major cause in the last few years is a major cause of marriage breakups. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They say knowledge being increased, I think it's every month now. They're learning more in a month now than it took them in a decade before. That's what they're saying, somewhere I read the other day. Every month, knowledge is increased in the earth more than a few years ago. It would take 10 years to learn. They're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Here's a good place for you to say amen, because we're finishing up. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. He said, when you see all these things taking place, I mean, you look at the news today, you look at the world today, you, honest, you're here telling a lie, you know that what we're talking about this morning is what's going on in the world today. Turn on the news. Look at it every evening. You can see these things taking place. And Jesus said, when that starts to happen, look up, start looking up. He said, because it's getting close. Getting close. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to set a time. There's people saying, you know, I heard some reputable minister say a few years ago, 2012, as long as I give Jesus to come back. Listen, we could be here 24,012. We won't, but somebody will. Well, we will too if Jesus comes back, because we'll be there in eternity. But the point is, we can't set a time to it. But Jesus said, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab.
the many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store outweighs the hurt of life's sting. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no face. But until that day,